I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wish I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruth, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. Photographer Gary Freeberg takes a lot of pictures of remarkably spare landscape, and there's a specific reason for this. Gary grew up in Minneapolis, got his 3 college degrees in the Midwest, then moved to Alaska in the mid-1980s.
It was an adventure that my grandfather put in my head. When I was 13 years old, he took me on a fishing trip, took out his billfold, took out a small picture, and showed it to me. It was actually a picture of Mount McKinley that I think he clipped out of a National Geographic magazine. And he just looked at me and said, I'm not going to ever make it to this place, to Alaska, and someday you should go there and see this place. And so 2 things happened that were important. Number one, it sort of gave me an idea of the gravity of a photograph, of how important that can be to kind of place an image in my mind. And then secondly, it gave me a sense of adventure. I was only 13 at the time, and 3 months later, he died of cancer. Oh. And so I think that sort of all kind of came together for me. And I thought about the place, and I thought about that photograph for a while, but I didn't really act on it until I'd finished all my university education. And again, I couldn't find a job, and I just decided, if I can't find work there, I think I'm going to go to an environment that has been sticking kind of in the back of my mind. So all of a sudden, the Alaska experience came to me, and I sold everything I had and jumped an airplane, and I flew into Sitka and started there.
And Sitka is?
Sitka is in southeast Alaska. It's a small community of about between 7,000 and 8,000 people. And I left Minneapolis in the middle of July, and it was probably 90 to 95 degrees, hot and humid. I got off the airplane in Sitka, and you don't walk the sort of concourse from the airplane into the terminal. You had to walk down the stairway. And I tell you, the moment I got to the bottom of the stairs and I looked around me, the ocean was all behind me. The mountains were in front of me. It had just rained. 65 degrees. I took a big breath of fresh air, and I said, this is home. It was a wonderful experience, I have to say, one of the best.
That moment.
Life, that moment.
Mm-hmm. Why Sitka?
Well, my brother was in Sitka, had a helicopter business in Sitka. And he ended up there because he was a pilot in Vietnam. Both of us actually were in Vietnam at the same time, back in the late 60s, early 70s. And he was there, and I thought, well, this might be a good jumping off point for me, is Sitka. And so I moved in with my brother in a small little mobile home that he had up there. And I actually showed up in Sitka on Friday. I got in touch with the newspaper to see what jobs were available. And the following week, I had 2 offers. And one was to be a graphic artist, which I don't know anything about. But they figure if I had 2 master's degrees, I could do graphic art. And so I did that. And then also I walked across the street to an extended college of the University of Alaska, and they gave me 2 classes to begin teaching in photography. So I was on a real roll. And that was like that following Monday. And then by the end of the week, I had contract work with the Park Service, the National Park Service, that is, the Forest Service, and the Salmon Aquaculture Association. So I had more work than I could possibly handle. And it was a great transition.
Now, how old were you then?
I was about 30, let's see now, I have to think back, about 32 years old.
Okay. Now, and you've had 2 tours in Vietnam.
I did.
What did that have to do with who you were getting off that plane and getting all this work and saying this is home?
Well, just about everything, to be honest. That Vietnam is what really put me in the direction of the photography and the drawing that I do these days. That the experiences that I had in the war are one of just a lot of noise and confusion, it seems. There's an awful lot of energy that goes into war that It's not positive energy by any stretch of the imagination, but I was looking for an outlet, a way out of this. And what I ended up doing was I would take, and oftentimes I enjoyed being by myself. And when I left Vietnam, I was always with my buddies. We had a good group of friends, and we kind of watched out for each other. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I relished those moments that I could get away. And when we got to Japan, I would take the bullet train up to Tokyo, and then I would take it south to Kyoto. And I just wanted to go and visit parts of the country. And when I was in Kyoto in 1970, I wandered the streets not knowing where I was going, but I'm just looking by myself again. And I came across Ranji Garden, which was a Zen Buddhist garden, and several others, actually. And when I walked into this place, I realized that there's a real transformation that takes place from all of the activity outside the walls of these gardens. And when you get in there, it's just the absolute complete opposite of what the war experience was. And this was something that really sat with me for years, actually. And so when I got to Sitka, I brought my cameras and my cold weather gear with me, thinking it was going to be a little different. But one thing I realized when I was there is that everywhere you look, it's a postcard. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. But I wanted something different than that. So what I found is that in that part of the world, the tides are huge. We're talking 15 to 20 foot tides. And my brother would fly me with his helicopter out to an island and drop me off and leave me for a few days. And I would wait, and along the shoreline, the tide would go out. And what would happen is it would leave all this sandy area with these rock outcroppings. And so what I had was my Zen garden all over again. Number one, I was alone. And number two, I had these beautiful outcroppings of rock in this dark, dark sand. And what would happen the following day, the tide would come back in. About every 6 hours, it would come in and go out. And when it went out again, the rocks were still there, but the sands would have changed. So it's just this really wonderful, peaceful, sort of a quiet feeling. And that's where all the photography began, and that's where the excitement really of the work essentially started, was really in Sitka in those first 2 years.
When you talk about the work, mm-hmm. and you talk about your Zen garden experience mm-hmm. recreated, mm-hmm. how does the Zen garden experience inform the work, your work?
What I'm looking for in the work is I want to remember that garden experience, and I'm looking for a sense of quietude, solitude. I'm looking for solace. I'm looking for a place really to go.
No guru, no Nelson, no teacher, just you and I and nature in that garden. In the garden, wet with rain.
You'll find a picture of Gary Freeberg, some of his Alaska photographs, and a link to the Ranji Sacred Gardens on the Spark page at WMRA.org. Next week, Gary will take us to Alaska to, among other things, spend some time in the company of Kodiak brown bears.
No guru, no method, no teacher. Just you and I, nature in the garden.